"You suffer, yet you are strong," she said. "You spend so much time in the realm of Anstead." She brought him into her teepee, a cone of heavy hand-woven cloth. Wicker baskets ringed the walls. The light was dim and the air dusty. The valley's pinkish grass was matted, dry and dying underfoot. He saw her sleeping roll, bundled up against one basket, a bright orange blanket with pillows that had some kind of green and white tree motif embroidered across them, haloed by a ring of stars. He wondered if that was what he'd do it on, where he'd finally become a man. They sat cross-legged on a threadbare rug and drank tea, which was like coloured water and didn't taste of much. "Jasmine," she told him. "What do you think of us?" she asked. "Us? The Starbridge tribes." "Never really thought about you much," Darrett said. He was getting itchy, sitting on the rug, and it was pretty obvious there weren't going to be any biscuits with the tea. "You should. Starbridge is both our name and our dream, that which we seek to build, a bridge between stars, between all peoples. We are the final religion. They will all come to us eventually, the Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, even the Satanists and followers of Wicca, every sect, every cult, each and every one of them." "That's a pretty bold claim." "Not really, just inevitable. There were so many of us, you see, when Rubra the Lost invited us here, so many beliefs, all different, yet really all the same. Then he turned on us and confined us and isolated us. He thought he would punish us, force us to conform to his materialistic atheism. But faith and dignity is always stronger than mortal oppression. We turned inwards for comfort and found we had so much that we shared. We became one."
"Starbridge being the one?"
"Yes. We burned the old scriptures and prayer books on a bonfire so high the flames reached right across the habitat. With them went all the ancient prejudices and the myths. It left us pure, in silence and darkness. Then we rebirthed ourselves and renamed what we knew was real. There is so much that old Earth's religions have in common, so many identical beliefs and tenets and wisdoms. But their followers are forced apart by names, by priests who have grown decadent and greedy for physical reward. Whole peoples, whole planets who denounce one another so that a few evil men can wear robes of golden cloth."
"Well, that seems fairly logical," Darrett said enthusiastically.
"Good idea." He smiled. From where he was sitting he could see the whole side of her left breast through the waistcoat's lace-up front. "I don't think you have come to faith that quickly," she said with a trace of suspicion.
"I haven't, because you haven't told me anything about it. But if you were telling the truth about hearing my spirit, then you've got my full attention. None of the other religions can offer tangible proof of God's existence."
She shifted round on the rug, bracelets clinking softly. "Neither do we offer proof. What we say is that life in this universe is only one segment of the great journey a spirit undertakes through time. We believe the journey will finish when a spirit reaches heaven, however you choose to define that existence. But don't ask how close this universe is to heaven. That depends on the individual."
"What happens when your spirit reaches heaven?"
"Transcendence."
"What sort?"
"That is for God to proclaim."
"God? Not a goddess, then?" he asked teasingly.
She grinned at him.
"The word defines a concept, not an entity, not a white man with a white beard, nor even an Earth Mother. Physical bodies require gender. I don't think the instigator and sovereign of the multi-universe is going to have physical and biological aspects, do you?"
"No." He finished the tea. Relieved, the cup was empty.
"So what are these realms?"
"While the spirit is riding a body, it also moves through the spiritual realms of the lords and ladies who govern nature. There are six realms and five lords and ladies."
"I thought you said there was only one heaven."
"I did. The realms are not heaven, they are aspects of ourselves. The lords and ladies are not God, but they are of a higher order than ourselves. They affect events through the wisdoms and deceits they reveal to us, but they have no influence on the physical reality of the cosmos. They are not the instigators of miracles."
"Like angels and demons?"
he asked brightly.
"If you like, if that makes it easier to accept."
"So they're in charge of us?"
"You are in charge of yourself. You and you alone chose where your spirit roams."
Then why the lords and ladies?